change any one component, and it's like, okay, this week I'm working on hydration. You know, what's really singing to me? What's working nice? Now I'm working on fermentation. How long am I going to go? Is it room temp? Is it cold? Is it a combination of both? Am I bulking? Am I not?
What do you do when the vacant space in the same strip mall next to your restaurant becomes available? And there's a pizza oven already there? If you're the team behind Muss and Turner's, you turn it into a pizzeria, naturally. How a quest down the rabbit hole of creating a unique style of pizza in Smyrna, Georgia, led three guys to one of the best pizzas in the Atlanta area. The story behind MTH Pizza, straight ahead.
I need a deep dish sausage and a thin pepperoni for here.
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind some of the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA and founder of Pizza City USA Tours in Chicago. And welcome. Great to have everybody along with us for another edition of Pizza City. We are continuing a little bit of a road trip here through the South today. Before we get to our guests, I want to remind you all about Pizza City Fest Chicago, the first inaugural happening July 23rd and 24th. Some of you have got your tickets already. Thank you, Idriff. Really excited to see some of the folks from out of town coming in. I got some Minneapolis peeps coming in. Tickets on sale now, pizzacityfest.com. We just ended the early bird, unfortunately, but there's still some regular price general admission for both days available. So hope to see you out in Chicago in July. All right. In 2005, there's a restaurant called Muss and Turner's just outside of Atlanta in the town of Smyrna. They took on the sandwich, trying to expand and improve upon a pretty well-known menu item. And to be honest, Smyrna, Georgia was a pretty sleepy suburb back then. Fast forward a dozen years, now the Atlanta Braves Stadium is nearby with a number of pretty good restaurants in the area. The three guys behind the company, Todd Mussman, Ryan Turner, Chris Hall, also became known for creating The Giving Kitchen, an organization providing emergency assistance to restaurant workers through financial assistance and community resources. It stemmed from the loss of their own chef, Ryan Hittinger, in 2012 from cancer. Since its inception, Giving Kitchen has granted more than $3 million and helped more than 3,500 people. And they continue to do great work all over the place, not just in their neighborhood. Now, Mussman was the guy who dove deep on the pizza project. He spent a good 6 months testing at his home, with his family and friends, and you're going to hear his thick Massachusetts accent, but don't be fooled. He has been a Southerner for many years, and I was pretty skeptical, to be honest, of pizza from the Atlanta suburbs, but boy, was I happy to be proved wrong. These were some of the best pies I have had all year. I met Todd and Chris a few weeks ago. I was driving down to Florida, as some of you know. Got off the highway, had some pizzas, and we started off, as we do every show, by asking them about their earliest pizza memories.
Pretty funny. I grew up in Stoughton, Massachusetts, and we had a pizzeria called Papagino's, and they had a big window in front of the pizza. You know, Keith's the guy's making the pies, and when you're a little kid, you go in there for your birthday, and they let you go make the pizza. Well, I was petrified, and I wouldn't go make the pizza, so my little sister went and did it for me. I mean, you know, I never would think I'd tell that story and laugh, but kind of funny. So I think I was maybe six years old or something like that.
And what kind of pizza was it? How would you kind of describe that style?
You know, I think that was kind of like a New England chain. So it was like, it was a really nice style. I mean, it was similar to what we do here, I think, you know, so not quite New York, maybe a little more chewy or something than New York. I'm not sure how to describe it, but.
And Chris, how about you?
So as a kid, I grew up in Detroit, and
great pizza town.
Yeah, it was Greek pizza. and I was just completely enthralled. Like, we used to go with my grandparents kind of every, I don't know, Friday night when we were with them. And there was, like, kind of glass, you know, in front of where they threw the pies and made the pies. And I was just completely enthralled by throwing pizzas. And I was like, I want to do that.
But this was not the pan pizza from Buddy's or Louie's or Shields.
No. And we do a Detroit style here. Just, you know, Todd did it, kind of as an homage to my upbringing. But this was a very Greek style to me as a little kid. And I mean, my pizza infatuation has gone on for a long time. It was more about just throwing dough. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, because these guys would throw it. They didn't just stretch it. I mean, it went up in the air. It went around. It was a show. You know, I wanted a car when I was about that age, and I was mowing lawns during the day, and I was like, okay, well, I want to, you know, figure it out. I went to work at Pizza Hut, brown polyester uniform, and the best promotion I've ever gotten was when I moved from there to a local pizza place here, Fellini's, that played kind of really killer rock and roll and made really good pizza. And at 16, the beer was cold, and the girls had tattoos, and it was some sort of heaven. Atlanta certainly doesn't have a history of pizza. It has a history of folks like us coming in from other parts and doing it. And so there's a variety. I mean, I think one of the interesting things about pizza is when you start to dig into it, and Todd's dug as deep as anybody you'll ever meet, you know, styles are so different, right? Like when we were doing our pie, we didn't want to do a Neapolitan, but we didn't want to do a New York style. We wanted something in between, right? Because I don't want something where, you know, all the toppings slide off into my lap, and I don't want something that is like dough on Viagra. Like, I wanted something in between where I could fold it, but it still had some pliability and great flavor. And so Todd came up with a killer dough recipe. But there's no real, like, pizza culture in Atlanta. You know, it wasn't developed here. Anything that's here now, there's really good pizza here now. That's not what I'm not saying. There's not. It's just come from other places.
Todd, what's your background? I mean, you said you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts. My grandfather grew up in a Jewish deli in Brookline, really. So that was kind of the culture of the, you know, food with both sides. My grandparents, I was always on apron strings, so cooking was always a thing for me. I knew I would become a chef when I was really young. I mean, I was super blessed to kind of know what I wanted, what I really wanted to do and was driven to do, and have kept doing that.
But you were sick of winters and you had to come down here?
Yeah, if you ask me now, I've been here 20 years. I don't want to move snow around. That's not fun. I mean, going skiing and seeing the snow come, I love a good snowy day, hot chocolate, you know, in front of the fire, but no, dude, I'm not moving that stuff around. But
this is a very meet and three culture, right? I mean, this is, you know, we're in the South. So.
Yeah. I honestly ended up down in the South really rarely happenstance, man. I mean, I was at CIA, I was at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, and went to a career fair, and I was walking around. I'm thinking I'm going to Chicago, I'm going to San Francisco, New Orleans, like all these food cities in my young, you know, culinarian head. And then I met these guys from Fifth Group Restaurants, who's a group here in town. They weren't Fifth Group yet. It was just South City Kitchen. It was one place. And I met these guys and just ended up hitting it off with them, took an interview, ended up at a second interview. And before I knew it, I'm moving to Atlanta. I remember calling my dad and being like, you're not going to believe this. I'm moving to Atlanta, Georgia. He's like, what? And I mean, I was 20-something years old. I never tried a collard greens. I never tried grits, none of that, before I moved down here. And I go to work at a Southern restaurant. So really, like, my introduction to the South was deep Southern cuisine. You know, I learned from an older African-American woman named Dorothy Corbett. She taught me how to make all the classic Southern stuff. But, you know, pizza was just one of those things that rolled along kind of after.
How did this come together? So MTH, I know Mussman and Hall, there's a T, obviously.
There's a T. Turner is our other partner. He likes to think he's a chef, and he's a really good cook, but he's not, I guess, technically a chef. So we kind of say we cook the beans and he counts the beans. You know, this space came open. It had the oven. For me, I had always wanted to come full circle back around to doing pizza. You know, I kind of started in pizza, went to super high-end fine dining, and I've been working my way sort of down, and I mean that in a good way, ever since.
But you say you inherited the oven. That's interesting. So it's a Renata, it's a gas-fired, it's a dome, stone decks. So that limits you a little bit in terms of what you're going to do. And you said you don't want to do the sort of the chewy, you don't want to do New York, can't do Neapolitan really because it's not going to get that hot. So
we were limited by that. But, you know, I'm an ideal guy. I Todd and I are both chefs, but we're very different in the fact that he's classically trained, I'm not. And it sort of comes out in the fact that I'm kind of ideas. I'll throw a bunch of stuff on. There's nobody better, there's no better technical cook in the country than this guy. So when we started this, he was kind of like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I think this style of dough would be cool. And then, every couple weeks, I get a call, come over to the house and eat pizza. And I'd be like, well, what if we do this? And it wasn't even that. I'd be like, hey, if, you know, could it be a little chewier? Hey, could it be a little, next thing you know, there'd be another version of dough. So I think Todd ended up raising the only 14 and 12-year-old kids in the country that were tired of eating pizza because they ate pizza every night for a year as he was perfecting dough recipes. Literally a 14-year-old kid's looking at me like, his son Miles is like, I don't want any more pizza. I'm like, what do you mean? You're 14. He's like, I've had pizza for 67 straight days. Can I just have something else?
Like when I did my research in Chicago for my first book, my teenagers were like, enough. So this was really the two of you figuring out, kind of drilling down what kind of style we want, as opposed to saying, this doesn't exist in the Atlanta area right now. We should do X. It was like, what kind of pizza do we want to eat? What do we get behind and get excited about?
Yeah, so, I mean,
it kind of came up, right? Like, we talked about doing Detroit because that was like, you know, I started researching back a few years ago, and it was like, oh, well, Detroit's going to be the next up-and-coming thing. It's coming out. Everyone's going to do it. And, you know, and then Chris was like, well, it's kind of limiting, which I agreed with. And we said, well, we can do a Detroit, but let's come up with something that really is us. And I joke around, people are like, oh, is it Neapolitano? Is it, what is that? I guess pizza a la Smyrna. We're in Smyrna, Georgia, and it is what it is. You know, we're here. I went through 150 pounds of different flours in my home KitchenAid mixer at home over the course of 7.5 months to finally arrive at what you're having today. So, you know, I mean, trying different flours, hydrations, you know the drill, I know you do. So you can change any one component, and it's like, okay, this week I'm working on hydration, you know, what's really singing to me, what's working nice. Now I'm working on fermentation. How long am I gonna go? Is it room temp, is it cold? Is it a combination of both? Am I bulking, am I not? And so then it comes down to the mix, and we didn't have a mixer, so I had to research mixers, and then I got some good tip-offs on some good spiral mixers, which I had never used before, so I had, that was another factor, and I had to talk to some people about my dough in that kind of a mixer. So until we finally arrive where we are.
Yeah. Compute the friction factor, too?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, you can, well, I can, yeah, can I can tell you this.
You rabbit hole, man.
All right, so hold that thought, guys. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Todd Mussman and Chris Hall about the pizza specifically, as he mentioned, the fermentation, the dough, cheese, whatever they want to share with us. I've already had a couple of slices here before we started. It's fantastic. I can't wait to dig into this. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. Talking with Todd Mussman and Chris Hall from MTH Pizza in Smyrna, Georgia. We're just outside of Atlanta. This is kind of a suburb, right, guys?
Yeah, right. Just northwest corner of Atlanta. It's actually a really centralized spot to get wherever you need to get around town. It's a great spot.
Todd, you were alluding to in the last segment at the very end about you kind of went down this rabbit hole, as everybody has to, fermentation, hydration, flours, mixed flours, cheese, mixed, what, you know. So kind of, can you share what you settled on?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't believe in holding back anything. I'm not going to not tell you one component so you can't do it. So,
well, like barbecue guys will say, I'm going to tell you all my secrets. Now, good luck trying to do it yourself, because it ain't easy.
I've always said, you know, I'll always share my recipes because, you know, you don't have my heart, you know, my soul, my eyes, my hands, you know, so, and you might not be able to source the exact flour. You might not be able to source the exact cheese, but I can give you a good guide, and I'm glad.
You might make a better pizza, right? You could make a better pizza.
So, could happen.
So flour.
Flour. King Arthur High Gluten Sir Lancelot, 14.2% protein. It's the highest one that they make. I looked at Gallahan. I looked at all King Arthur's.
They had so many
flours from all over. But I really did want to keep it like, you know, they do in Italy, right? It's like, you're going to use what's local. And we've always done that. And so you know, Lancelot being from Vermont and I'm from New England and it's American, you know, so I wanted to use a lot of, all the products we use are American made.
Okay, hydration.
Hydration 65%. I mean, give or take, it really does depend on, we got a lot of humidity here in Georgia, so I mean, we can tweak it a little, but it's basically 65%.
And you do like a cold ferment, or you do 3 days, you said?
Ice cold, 3 days. So actually do add ice to the machine. When we put in the water, we actually add ice to the water. It's instant dry yeast because it'll activate ice cold. It's no problem at all. I use 2 tablespoons of yeast in a 50-pound bag of flour. And because I go for 3 days, that yeast propagates itself and it just continues to ferment. We can actually squeak 4 to 5 days out of it. You make bread out of this pizza dough on the fifth day, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like for me, you know, the one thing I'm probably good at in this whole thing is actually throwing dough, right? And so for me, it's really interesting to like the tactile thing is I can tell, even though I'm not handling it as much as the guys that are here every day, like how old the dough is by touching it. You know what I mean? Like it's a very, it's a very responsive dough and you can feel it, which is super cool. I always love that.
How about sauce? There are two types of sauce. There's uncooked and there's cooked. Tell me about how they ended up on both of these pies.
Okay. So, well, we only use an uncooked sauce and a lot of people like, I can't believe you really, but it was really about the tomatoes, right? So finding the right tomatoes, we use Stanislaus tomatoes. I use Tomato Magic, which is one of their SKUs, okay? And it's a basic crushed tomato product. It is freaking phenomenal out of the can. It's super fresh.
Through a mill?
It's already ground in the can, right? So it's a little coarse. We actually just throw 2 tablespoons of kosher salt and hit it with a burr stick really fast just to blend in the salt and smooth it a drop, and that's it. All right, because we put Sicilian dried oregano and olive oil on the pizzas when they come out of the oven. I'd rather do that post-bake, and I like the way the straight tomato sauce just provides a little acidity.
Cheese,
we use Grande. All right.
So, everybody's using them.
Because it's really good. It's really hard to find shredded cheese. If you're not going to shred it yourself, it's really hard to find shredded that doesn't have, you know, starch on it, that really doesn't melt nice. This, we use a blend, it's half and half of their whole milk and their pot skim, because the whole milk is great flavor, but it can be a little oily by itself. The pot skim gives great stretch.
We also have a lot of other cheese in-house. I mean, there's ricotta, there's fior di latte. We finish every pie with pecorino and parm.
We grind like whole wheels of pecorino.
There's not some Amish artisan cheesemaker in Marietta doing something like by 2 gallons a day?
We've used some of the smaller guys. You know, the interesting thing about smaller producers is, can they keep up with the amount of pizza you're trying to sell, right?
What about toppings? So kind of, you know, this is a Smyrna pizza, as you said. Are there Georgia producers, artisans, farmers, folks that end up on here? Like I know Indianapolis, I think of, you know, Smoking Goose Meadery. They do duck prosciutto. That's local. Anything local on these pizzas?
You know, like seasonally, what we'll do is bring in like either local mushrooms. That's one. I mean, I'm actually a hunter, forager, like to get out actually. A lot of local mushrooms in Georgia, like chanterelles and morels and things.
The best pizza we'll do all year will be sometime probably in April or May, and it'll be when Todd's gone up to Blue Ridge and foraged a bunch of ramps and a bunch of morels. And it's literally the best pizza we'll do all year. So we do, I mean, you know, we're making the sausage here. We do have local producers that help us with some stuff.
Local ground beef.
You know, local ground beef for our meatballs, stuff like that.
Tell me about the 3 or 4, you had a cheese obviously here. This, let me just say this right off the bat. Love the crumb on the heel, love the undercarriage, that sort of mottling, that blackening. East Coast pizza fiends will really appreciate that. A little Sicilian oregano on the top, simple, great ingredients. I love this basic cheese, but you've got three others that you brought out. What are these three?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll just say the basic cheese. It's not even really on the menu. I mean, you could build this, I guess, on a build your own adventure. But we have a margarita, and we add a little fiore latte and stuff. This one, I put a little imported provolone, just a sprinkle on there right after I put the mozz on. So that's what gives it a little bit of tang. The Jimmy Two Times has finocchiona, Italian finocchiona. It's from Molinari Brothers in San Francisco. And we make the ground Italian sausage, a sweet Italian, in the house. Jimmy Two Times, you know, the character from Goodfellas, gets the papers. He says everything two times, right?
You know what would be great on this pizza? And I'm not trying to influence you at all, but you know, in Chicago, we got a thing about jardinera. Oh, yeah, just like in New Orleans on a muffuletta.
Yeah. So jardinera guy. There's a pepper puree we sometimes serve with that pizza.
Oh, that's right.
That's super, like, bright, right? We take pepperdews, which are sweet. Like pepper that you frequently find in jardiniera, and you can dip it in there.
I flubbed that one. I left the pepper puree off.
That's okay. The Sicilian over here, this is magical.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so the cuttarini, we opened with this pizza. This is a cooked tomato sauce base. So really simple, olive oil, onions, garlic, minced anchovies. Sweat that out. A pinch of chili flake, pinch of oregano, and some white wine. Bring it down almost dry. Add the tomatoes. Cook it out 20 minutes. Bay leaf in there. That's it. Really straight, simple, fast cook. That one goes on the base. Garlic oil over that. And then raw sweet onions and chopped anchovies. Basically, I chop them a little bit smaller so you don't get a big old bite of anchovy, which is, I think, what turns people off.
Absolutely, and I love that this was evenly distributed, and it gives the whole pie this umami, which is fantastic. And again, the heel, this sort of rough-hewn, rustic, not perfectly even, that's a result, obviously, the fermentation, the flour, the oven, the temperature, everything that Todd's doing. And then Chris said this is one over here that reminded you of your wedding?
Well, part of the inspiration for this joint is... I love Italy. It's kind of my default setting as a chef. You can see the graffiti like an Italian pizzeria, right? We turn on loud music at night and just let this thing rip. So we were on our honeymoon 20 some odd years ago, and they have rail strikes in Italy just randomly, and they'll strike for like 2 hours, right? Get whatever they want and then go back to work. So we got delayed. We rolled from Rome to Siena, and we got there at like 10 at night, nothing's open. We're walking to our hotel starving, hadn't eaten in like 10 hours. And there's this little guy out on the stoop, like sweeping his pizza place. And I just walked up and in my really broken Italian was like, "Hey, do you have anything left over? We'll take whatever it is." And he's like, "The oven's still hot." And I'm like, "I'll take anything you want to make us." And so he made us a version of this pie. So we call it, we say potato, they say patata. So it's olive oil on the base, roasted garlic, roasted fingerling potatoes, ricotta, mozz, a little bit of crispy rosemary on top. And I don't know what was on that pizza that I had 20 years ago. I know, as hungry as I was and on my honeymoon with my wife, it's still probably the best pizza I've ever eaten. And so this is kind of an homage to that.
Now, you guys have not been immersed in pizza full-time for all that long, right? Basically 2 years or so-ish. So knowing what you know now, this is our final question in the course of the program, knowing what you guys know now about pizza making, what would you have told yourselves 3 years ago about pizza making to be successful? You know, what would have saved you a lot of hassle, headaches, late nights, annoyed teenagers to be successful? We'll start with Todd.
It's a wicked hot question, too, because I don't know what I would change. I really enjoyed the process. I mean, for me, it was like a treasure hunt, trying to find, you know, the treasure chest or whatever. I think I would probably ask for more advice from more people that knew more about pizza than I do and about pizzerias. I think I maybe would have gone to the expo, Pizza Expo in Vegas. Those things.
I love that the New Englander slipped a wicket into the show. It's the first wicket we've ever had on Pizza Podcast. And Chris, let's go with you. What advice would you have given your younger self 3 years ago?
Pay more attention to the capacity of your oven, right? On Friday and Saturday nights, that just becomes our limiting factor. And people don't like hearing 90 minutes for a pizza, right? They will wait. Sometimes we'd love to think it's that good. But really, like, we did inherit the oven, but capacity has become an issue, just about size. So think about what you can really produce, and do it that way. We were smart enough to kind of measure out dough and figure out how many boxes we needed and stuff like that. But, you know, like, we can do 6 pies at a time, and that's what we can do. It would be great to be able to do double that, because we could sell that many pizzas.
Listen, you guys, with this recipe, the next place you do, you got a different oven maybe, because you don't have to inherit this one. It's a whole different ballgame. The restaurant, again, is called MTH Pizza. It's in Smyrna, just outside of Atlanta. Come see these guys. They really know their pizza. Chris Hall, Todd Mussman, thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thanks. Great to be
thank
here.
You.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we are heading back to the Pacific Northwest to steal a taste of a former Los Angeles chef's approach to pizza.
The farmers markets here are amazing. The farmers are amazing. You have so much to choose from. And cheeses, too. I mean, everything. There's like so much happening here food-wise. Your options are pretty amazing.
I'll talk with Darby Aldaco, the chef and co-owner of Pizza Thief in Portland, Oregon. That's in 2 weeks on April 1st. And no, I'm not joking. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Please tell a friend, everybody, and rate us. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Always trying to make improvements. We are at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here is wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.